Welcome to the Film Dispenser Podcast. I am Spencer, one of your hosts. David is not with me at the moment because this is just an intro. I just wanted to welcome you to this bonus episode. We're going to call this one number 155. It is actually part two to our episode 150, where we welcomed Mark Covino, the director of A Band Called Death, to come and chat about his career and filmmaking and the future. And it was a great conversation, and we really enjoyed everyone's response to that interview. But we have more. We have a bunch of extra content talking to Mark about future projects and about a couple of personal things he didn't talk about on the show but gave us permission to talk about after we were about to say goodbye, and then the conversation continued. It was a great time talking with Mark a few weeks ago, and we're so glad that we got to share that conversation, and I'm excited to share this second part of it. This will be our last part in this Mark Covino interview, so don't expect more bonus episodes in the next few weeks, but this is kind of what we're doing, and the fact that I'm on baby watch, and the baby could appear at any moment, and this just makes life a little simpler for us. David and I will be back next week with another episode of some sort. I'm not sure that we're going to be reviewing anything new for the next couple of weeks, as, again, I'm on baby watch, but we will be talking about something to do with film next Tuesday. And also, I wanted to let followers of our Homeschool Film School segment know that we have retired that segment. We had a sickness of a co-host and then a technical issue, which ended up making us lose two episodes of Homeschool Film School. But the plan had always been to spin that off onto its own podcast. So we decided to, instead of having to re-record two episodes and schedule all of that while I am also on baby watch, to cancel the Friday episode, because what David and I are doing is so different than the Friday episode. So no more Friday episode, only Tuesday episodes. We will definitely be back next week, David and I, to talk about movies, and Homeschool Film School will appear at some point in October of this year. So thank you to all of you who have listened along and watched along with Homeschool Film School. We will continue that project. Follow me on Twitter at SpenLuke, S-P-E-N-L-U-K-E, and of course the Film Dispenser Twitter handle at Film Dispenser to get more information when that podcast starts. And of course, this podcast is a part of the Film Dispenser Podcast Network, which can all be found at filmdispenser.com. So if you have any other podcasting desires, we may have you covered. And if you want to get any updates on Homeschool Film School, you can find that there. So thank you very much for coming along on this second part of our interview with Mark Covino. I hope you enjoy this deep dive into to his future. And if you did not catch episode 150, go back and listen to that. It is a great conversation with a filmmaker who is very honest and earnest and just thought-provoking in more ways than we expected. So it was a great time, and we appreciate Mark letting us give this extra bit of content to you all. So thanks for subscribing, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hi, this is Nacho Vigalondo, writer and director of Time Crimes, Extraterrestrial and Open Windows, and you're listening to the Film Dispenser Podcast.
It's actually funny, Mark. David is actually my wife's brother.
Oh wow!
So it's all actually, that's my niece. So we're all, it's all connected. It's family.
We're from the south. That's how we roll down here. Just keep the train moving.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. I'll keep it in the family.
quick question. Seriously, you keep talking about narrative. Do you have stuff written already that you're pitching in, or is that kind of like the direction you're going to be going after? This isn't for podcasts. It's just
I have ideas, but I haven't actually written, just because of the filming with the Crest and the post-production. I'm a really bad multitasker. I'm not the best. Like, when I'm working on a film, I have to just concentrate on that film, and then after it's done, then I can think about another film.
You have ADD, right? I mean, is that why you were diagnosed when you were a kid? I mean, that's your textbook ADD.
Totally. Or ADHD maybe now.
That's me. Yeah. It takes one to know one. Like, I didn't realize till I was an adult and got all tested and jumped. But I'm like, hey, you sound like all those things that I know.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's good to know that I'm not alone.
it comes with the territory, I think. You know, like, it's how you can connect these weird, disparate elements together because the brain is your brain's already scattered all around, you know, so yeah. You can connect these strange things together.
No, it's totally true. And it's definitely like making these films is in a way kind of helped my ADD because I focus on just one thing now. It's strange. It's been like therapy. It's been like my Adderall.
You like I have a term for it. If I'm not doing something where I'm creating, like, and I'm just in a shitty mood all the time, and it's just gonna. My wife knows. I say, like, look, I'm creatively constipated. Like, you've got to shit this stuff out. Like, it's exactly. it's not what I want to do. It's what I have to do.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So whatever you have to do. Like, I totally get that.
It makes it's like an instinct almost.
Yeah, and I think you can really relate to the thing of it's not always what you want to do, because if it's only what you wanted to do, it would be easy and it would feel like we're making movies. Nah, it's like I've got to do this thing and this is what I do, and then you get done with it and you want it to be this release, but it's like it's released for a half second, but then you're like a shark. You're like, no, I've got to keep grabbing for something, and once that's over, that's half of what the thing, like, I need my thing.
Doing this stuff, like making art in general, but making movies is it's super hard and super stressful. And you know, I've definitely, like, I'll have moments where I'm like, was it even worth making a band called Death? You know, like here I am, I'm broke. Jeff's broke.
What's the fantasy in those moments? Because in those moments, you're like, if only I had, and I've got my thing that's like, maybe I should have this, or maybe I'll do whatever one day. Like, do you have that thing that you just kind of like fall back to?
Well, the thing I fall back to is the thing that keeps me going, I should say, like, that makes me not give up, is I always remember the night of our, and you, if you guys are still recording, you can use this, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I don't care.
I know.
But the night of our world premiere of a band called Death in Los Angeles, it was at the Los Angeles Film Festival. Everybody crowds around you after your movie's done, especially for a world premiere, and everybody wants to shake your hand, say congratulations, great job. And so there's, you know, tons of people in front of me, and it's just a wave of people, and I'm trying to bring the band with me to go do the photo shoot through this wave of people, and right in the middle in front of me comes this short little sweaty guy. He's shaking, he's crying, he's got a cell phone in one hand, he grabs my hand with his other hand.
Danny DeVito.
And I thought it was Danny DeVito for a second, but he kind of looked like him. But this guy, he freaked me out at first, but then he like stares me straight in the eyes and he goes, I haven't talked to my father in 5 years, but because of your movie, I just called him up.
Oh my
and,
God.
Like, that's why I do what I do. Like, that's why I'm not giving up. That, you know, we're making these films to affect people, to you know, bring emotions up in people. You know, movies kept me alive through growing up. I had so many ups and downs growing up, many depressing days with my situation with my mom and with special ed and all that nonsense, moving constantly. Movies were my only outlet. Movies are where I found solace, you know. And so it's, I always remember that moment and that particular night. That always keeps me going. I don't know if that makes any sense. But.
No, it does. You know, it's funny listening to you guys talk about creativity and how you guys bond there because of what David does and what you do.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to you talk about growing up, and I'm like, that's I moved around. I lived at one point in 8 years in 9 different apartments. And, like, movies were always the thing when it's like, hey, I live next to a bridge. I can either go jump off of it or I could watch the one Scorsese film I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And so I'll put in the Scorsese film. And movies were always that thing. And I had this idea in my head as, you know, as a teenager, especially, like, I really want to make movies, but with the goal of reaching that one person ever who emotionally reacts to my movie. And I'm sitting there, like, watching the movie today again. And at the end, like, when they're talking about David and it's in the movie's closing, like, I start to get super emotional, and it's just like, this is, he's doing that thing. And, and that's like, I totally get it. And it's,
and I want to add one little, extra to that you do it to have that effect, but no matter how much you try, how much you put into it, you can't even take credit even for the effect it has on someone. Cause I'll tell you something, like, just to go in here on this honesty train, this movie, like I've said, I mean, I love this thing, and it's up there with these top rock docs for me. And it's been a pleasure, you know, discussing this with you. But one thing about it that could never be planned, could never be written, is I go into this movie watching it. Mm-hmm. I only went to college because I've moved to Athens, Georgia to play music because I'm a musician and I have been for years. My name is David and I had this rock band with my brothers growing up. And there's all that. So I start watching your movie. It's like, okay, this is fun. Yeah, I get to put myself in the driver's seat here and just hear this tale with these fun similarities. Well, even the things about David in the movie, his issues or, all the good and the bad, all the different relationships, it was so poignant and it resonated so much with me that then you end up taking away from this, or I did, something that couldn't be planned or it could be hoped for, but it was only because of that special relationship, but you laid it out so well and allowed me to have this connection to where, and on one hand, a band called Death was a cautionary tale. On the other hand, a band called Death is a story of redemption. It's these other things that, all because I shared these similarities with what you figured out in the making was the basis of this. And it was these, I don't know, just random coincidental things, but your narrative was so strong. And it's so clear you love narrative film, but it does work so well in this genre, man, because that movie touched me and it meant a lot to me.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Here's a little story I should tell you guys. I don't know if you want to use this or not, but I might actually make another doc after The Crest. It's going to be a short doc, though. I didn't mention this, I don't think, but just before my mom died, she told me that I had a sister, and I had no idea I had a sister, unbeknownst to me. She told me when she was visiting me in Vermont, and it was just like one of the last days she was going to see me in Vermont before she goes back to Long Island and sees how she does with her cancer. Little did I know she was going to die that year. But told me she got pregnant in 1964, gave the baby up for adoption because her and the guy she was married to at the time, who I never knew they got married, they couldn't afford to raise the baby, gave the baby up for adoption, and that was it. They just lost contact with her. And my mom said that the guy that she was married to had tracked her down and found out her name, and she kind of told me the name, but it went in one ear and not the other. It was so, like, surreal to me that this was even happening. And eventually my mom died that year, and it just kept sticking in the back of my mind that I had this sister out there. And, you know, losing my mom, I felt like I lost this piece of me, but the fact that there was a piece of her out there, you know, that I could track down and connect with, it felt really important to me. And so I thought I should do a documentary on me searching for my sister. And I thought about that for about 10 years. You know, I kept asking friends, what do you think? Should I do it? Some people were like, yes, this is important, you should do it. Other people were like, this is risky, you don't know what she's going to react. You know, she might not want to be a part of your family and all of this. And then I kind of like forgot about it after a while. And then last year I was digging around in my basement, which is kind of like, you know, at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, it's just boxes of memories and shit.
You have a really big basement.
A really big basement, just boxes. It goes for miles and miles.
And forklifts and stuff.
Yeah, forklifts, and I have workers down there. go down there and I find a letter in one of these boxes that my mom wrote to the adoption agency that she adopted the child, that she gave the child up for adoption at. She wrote this letter in 1993, and she was begging them to let her know what her daughter's name is, where her daughter is living, and that she was forced to give the child up for adoption from the guy she was with because he threatened to leave them if she kept the child.
Oh, wow.
And so immediately I was like, wow, I need to really make this film now. I need to track her down. And the best way for me to cope with all of this, because this is really emotional for me, is to film it. That's the way I cope with it, at least. That's that's how I deal with my emotions. Just film everything. And so for a year, I kept trying to plan it, but The Crest kept getting in the way. And then a month or two ago, I was outside doing some yard work, and the FedEx guy backs up into my driveway, and he hands me an envelope. I open it up, and it's a letter from my sister. She ended up finding me somehow. actually, she found me through Ancestry.com, which is a part of The Crest. Like, we interview people from there.
Congratulations, wow. You have your inciting incident.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. So I'm going to see my sister for the very first time September 1st. and I'm going to document that. I've been documenting everything since, and it's been crazy. Wow. So that could be my next film, maybe.
But I guarantee you come out with that documentary, sir.
Yeah.
There will be some thinking and life changing that happens there. But it's just really interesting. I was like, wow, like, yeah, it's powerful stuff, man. It resonates.
Definitely. Sorry about that little tangent there.
No. I'm, thank you for sharing. Again, like the honesty, that it's just, it's mind-blowing. Thank you.
We're like 5 minutes away from this turning into an AA meeting.
We're all going to start crying.
I knew it was going to be this way.
Thank you for sharing, Mark.
Have you guys looked at my IMDb page?
Yes.
It says Mark Christopher Covino. Did you notice that?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was like, am I supposed to be like searching Christopher all the time or something?
So there's a reason behind that. When I was growing up, my mom, I guess, tried to raise me as a Catholic, and like Catholic kids get to choose their middle name when they have their confirmation or something. Is that how that works?
You're telling me everything you say is like the truth to me. I have no idea.
But basically, I get to choose my middle name, and I remember at the time I knew I wanted to be a film director since the age of 9, and this was after I was 9, so I never liked Mark Covino as a director's name, and so I put a lot of thought into it, and I was like, well, if I get to choose my middle name, what could I say that makes it all flow better?
MCC.
MCC. So I came up with Mark Christopher Covino.
That's your sheen.
Yeah, I haven't actually done it yet since I haven't made a narrative feature, but my goal is for all my documentaries, I'll just be Mark Covino, and for my feature narrative films, I'll be Mark Christopher Covino.
Someone else did this. They're called John Mellencamp.
Oh, God, that's true.
I'll be John Cougar Mellencamp for all my double albums.
1, 2, 3, 4.